The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 8. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on September 21st, 2010, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 8. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Dharmakshmanushtitakpumsam Vishvaksena Katasuya Nodpadayad Yadi Ratin Shrama Eva Hikevalam Dharmakshmanushtitakpumsam Vishvakshena Katasuya Nodpadayad Yadi Ratin Shrama Eva Hikevalam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. Purport. There are different occupational activities in terms of man's different conceptions of life. To the gross materialist who cannot see anything beyond the gross material body, there is nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. Concentrated selfishness centers around the personal body, that is, generally seen, that is, rather, this is generally seen in human society, right? This is generally seen amongst the lower animals. Extended selfishness is manifested in human society and centers around the family, society, community, nation, and world with a view to gross bodily comfort. Above these gross materialists are the mental speculators who hover aloft in the mental spheres, and their occupational duties involve making poetry and philosophy or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is the dormant spirit soul, whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mentally selfishness completely null and void. But less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is the potent active principle of the body and mind. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and mind. The body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. The need of the spirit soul is that he wants to get out of the limited sphere of material bondage and fulfill his desire for complete freedom. He wants to get out of the covered walls of the greater universe. He wants to see the free light in the spirit. That complete freedom is achieved when he meets the complete spirit, the personality of Godhead. There is a dormant affection for God within everyone. Spiritual existence is manifested through the gross body and mind in the form of perverted affection for gross and subtle matter. Therefore, we have to engage ourselves in occupational engagements that will evoke our divine consciousness. This is possible only by hearing and chanting by the divine activities of the Supreme Lord and any occupational duty which does not help one to achieve attachment for hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Godhead is said herein to be simply a waste of time. This is because other occupational duties, whatever ism they may belong to, cannot give liberation to the soul. Even the activities of the salvationists are considered to be useless because of their failure to pick up the fountainhead of all liberties. The gross materialist can practically see that his material gain is limited only in time and space, either in this world or in the other. Even if he goes up to Svargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamvitamscha. So, you think it's a very good idea to waste your time? Time is a very precious thing. You can lose money and you can get it back. But any time which is lost is forever lost. You can never get it back. Therefore, if something is a waste of time, that is the greatest loss. Therefore, if we are intelligent, You'll be very, very careful not to waste even a single moment. Nowadays, time management is becoming very popular in the corporate world. The corporations will invite time management gurus to come in and teach the employees how to manage their time. Because the corporation wants to squeeze as much work as possible out of the employees. But actually, the original time management guru is Srila Rupa Goswami. Because he said that you should not waste a single moment in Krishna's, in the service of the Lord, not even a single moment should be wasted. So that means from the very minute we wake up in the morning to the minute we go to sleep at night, we should always be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at school, whether I'm in the commute, whether I'm standing in line at the grocery store, wherever I may be, whatever I may be doing, I have to connect with Krishna. And if I do not connect with Krishna, I'm spoiling my future. In other words, whatever we desire at the time of death will carry us to our next existence. As I was explaining last night, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam sijanjanti kalevaram tam tam mevaiti konteya sadata bhavavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state, O son of Kunti, he will attain without fail. So how do we train ourselves? Do we train ourselves to be Krishna conscious? Or we feel more comfortable letting our mind just wander like a monkey here and there and everywhere? How do we engage ourselves? Are we interested in keeping our mind under control? Or do we feel more happy letting the mind wander freely? That's up to each and every one of us. Whether we want to have a controlled mind or a roaming mind. As we studied last night, yataddipo nivattasto nengate sopamasmita yogino yachatittasya yunjato yagmatmanaha. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. But what is the difficulty? The difficulty is the mind wanders. Just like that we saw the boy, Kripasiddha, he was sitting in the class last night. But he had some flowers. Instead of hearing the class, his mind was down there playing with the flower petals, you see. So the mind, it likes to wander here and there. Like a wild animal, you see. But what does Bhagavad Gita say? Yato yato nishchalati manas chantalamashtaram. Tatastata nayam yaitad atyan vivavishamnaya. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must suddenly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So we have a choice. We have a controlled mind or an uncontrolled mind. This is what will either make you or break you in Krishna consciousness. If you are willing to bring your mind under control, you become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. But if you just let your mind keep wandering here and there, everywhere, all over the universe, you'll never become fixed in Krishna consciousness. What is the easiest way to fix the mind? We have to absorb in chanting Hare Krishna. We have to be absorbed in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. We have to be absorbed in the kirtan. We have to be absorbed in doing devotional service in a first-class way. We have to be absorbed in serving our spiritual master. We have to be absorbed in serving the deities and in serving the Vaishnavas. We have to be absorbed in preaching this Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of the suffering souls of this world. There is full scope to keep the mind absorbed 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. If there's nothing else to do, you can recite some slokas. Or you can get your bead bag and chant some extra rounds. And one should always read something. Transcendental literature. Always keep the mind engaged. That's the key. It is sometimes said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Why is it said like that, that an idle mind is the devil's workshop? Because if a mind is idle, it will contemplate sense gratification. That's why. Your mind is not engaged in Krishna's service, it will contemplate sense gratification. And what does Krishna say about contemplating sense gratification? Chapter 2, text 62 and 63. Jayato vishayam pumsam sangat teshu bhajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo bijayate krodat bhavati sang moha sang mohit smriti vibhrama smriti rangshad buddhi nasho buddhi nashad pranashiti. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and bloop, one falls down again into the material pool. So this is the destination of one whose mind remains uncontrolled. They will fall down from Krishna consciousness in due course of time. So we want to protect ourselves from falling down, number one point. And if we want to protect ourselves, and if we want to empower ourselves to advance very nicely, number two point. Both can be accomplished simply by bringing the mind under control. This is called yogi. You see, he controls his mind. The mind is either the best friend or the worst enemy. So how do you engage your mind? If you don't engage it in Krishna consciousness, if you let it just float here and there, then your mind is your worst enemy. If you keep your mind fixed in Krishna consciousness, it's your best friend. So you have a choice how you will fix your mind. Even a small child, it's the same principle. We have to learn that I am not the mind. The self and the mind are two different things. The example is given, the chariot, the horses, the reins, the driver, and the passenger. The horses are the senses. The reins are the mind. The driver is the intelligence, and the self is the passenger. So if you're driving, if you're going out with a chariot with some five horses on it, and you throw the reins in the air, what will happen? You may go off a cliff, you see. Those horses are not being guided. They can run anywhere. They may get scared and just spooked and they go start running somewhere. You see. You, if you throw the reins in the air, you may be killed. Or just like driving a car, it's the same thing. The steering wheel is like the reins. If you're driving the car and you just throw your hands in the air, let go of the steering wheel, just throw your hands in the air and say, well, whatever happens, happens. You'll be dead. You'll have a head-on collision, or you go off the road, you crash into a tree, you'll be finished. You see? You let go of that steering wheel. Steering wheel is the, in this example, the steering wheel is the mind. The engine is like the horses. The steering wheel is the mind. Since we don't have experience of driving a chariot, this example of a car is also very good. The driver is the intelligence, and the passenger in the car is the self. You see? So you better not let go of that steering wheel. If you do, you're going to be dead very soon. So don't let your mind go wild. Keep your hands on that steering wheel. Keep your mind under your control. Say, okay, mind, I'm going to keep you under my control now. My dear mind, we have a program today. We're going to be Krishna conscious. You and me are going to be Krishna conscious all day. I'm going to keep you absorbing Krishna the whole day, my dear mind. So how to do that? This is given by Govinda Das. You know that nice song? Bajahure mana Srinanda nandana Abhaya charanara vindure Durlabha manava janama sat sange Tarahae bhava sindure. My dear mind, Govinda Das prays, simply engage yourself 24 hours a day in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. And then Prabhupada, in his wonderful purport for this song, he said, the mind may complain that Govinda Das, you're taking away all my enjoyment. What will I do? No television, no sex, no football game, you know, no night at the tavern, no bingo, no video games. You're taking away all my entertainment. No chess. What am I going to do? The mind may complain. What are you doing to me, Govinda Das? This is torture. What will I do now? And then, so Govinda Das answers that question. Shravana kirit. Dana smarana vandana pada sevana dashore pujana saki jana atmani vedana govinda dasa abhilasare. My dear mind, don't worry, I'll give you plenty of things to do. I'll give you full engagement. You can hear about Krishna, you can chant Krishna, you can remember Krishna, you can pray to Krishna, you can serve Krishna, you can become friends with Krishna instead of being an enemy of Krishna by saying he doesn't exist. You can become friends with Krishna and you can just give everything to Krishna. So my dear mind, don't worry that you're going to get bored. I'm going to give you unlimited things to do for Krishna 24 hours a day. You see? So Prabhupada has given us unlimited things to do. Prabhupada gave us, you know, he told us, his disciples, he said, now you become guru and deliver the whole world. So can we say, well, Prabhupada, we don't have anything to do. We don't know what to do. There's nothing to do. Deliver the whole world. I mean, that's a pretty big assignment. He wants us to make every man, woman, and child in every country throughout the entire world into a devotee. You think we have enough to do to keep us busy 24 hours a day for the rest of our lives? How about 1,000 lifetimes? I mean, we had such a big work to do to make the whole world Krishna conscious. You can't say, well, I've got all my service done. Now I can just space out. You know, I'm a pujari. I did the aarti. I cleaned the aarti tray. And now I can just space out because my work is finished. And think, I'm a very good devotee because I offered the aarti and I cleaned the aarti tray. I am very good devotee. I am Pakka Vaishnav. My business is finished now. Now I eat a big bowl of sweets and I will sleep. No, but you are ordered to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So how many books have you distributed? How many devotees have you made? How many Ratha Yatra festivals have you put on? You see, we have unlimited work to do for pushing forward this movement. So there's no question of, you know, everything's done, nothing else to do. And even if your daily duties are accomplished, you went out preaching, you did the RT, everything is finished. Even if you did all your duties nicely, what did Prabhupada tell Vishnu Janaswami? One day Vishnu Janaswami, he was with Prabhupada in his room in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada showed him, he said, I have my harmonium here. You see, Vishnu Janaswami, I have my harmonium here. He said, no gaps for Maya. Gap means no. Let's see, a gap is like a break. He said, if there's nothing else to do, I can sing some bhajans. No gaps for Maya. No place for Maya in my day, you see. 24, there's nothing else to do. You get your harmonium or you get your kartals, your drum, get the songbook and sing some bhajan. You see. Keep yourself always plugged in 24 hours a day. Not that, well, I've done all my duties, now I can just space out. Spacing out means the devil's workshop. You're inviting the devil. Come on, take over my mind now. Devil, Satan, take over my mind. Go ahead, have fun with it. It's all yours. You can have it now for a while. I've given it to Krishna for a while. Now, my dear Satan, you can have it for a while. Go ahead and play with it and have fun with it. It's all yours now, Satan. That's what spacing out means. No, I had to keep the mind always in Krishna consciousness. We don't want Satan or Kali to have even 10 seconds of our mind's time. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always be chanting Hare Krishna. Always be engaged in kirtan. So Prabhupada explained, what is kirtan? He said, kirtan is kirtan. Reading is kirtan. Writing is kirtan. He said, even taking prasadam is kirtan. He said, everything is kirtan except for sleep. That is waste. Of course, we need some sleep to stay healthy. That we should do. But we should not sleep just for something to do. Because I'm bored and I'm miserable, therefore I'll go to sleep. You see, that's not good. Take the sleep you need to be healthy. And then utilize every waking moment for Krishna. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. Have I read all of Prabhupada's books yet? How many verses have I memorized? Have I memorized 108 verses yet? You see, we have much work to do. We're becoming fixed up in the scriptures. There's no time for wasting. It's an interesting story in this regard. My godbrother, Bharat Raj Prabhu, he is an artist. And Prabhupada, in Bengal, you may have heard, they have a traditional art of doll making from clay and straw. They make deities out of for like Durga Puja, they take the clay, they make deities of Durga, and then they throw them away after the festival. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he made wonderful diorama exhibits using these clay statues, depicting Chaitanya Leela, Krishna Leela, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada also wanted to have like that statue of diorama, which means statues, depicting our Krishna consciousness. So he asked Bharat Raj Prabhu to come to India, to Mayapur, to learn this art, along with one of my godbrothers also, Adi Dev Prabhu, who joined me in Austin. He also went to help Bharat Raj in this, to learn also this art of doll making, Bengali art doll making. So Prabhupada had Bharat Raj come to his room. He gave him all his, you do this, this, this. He gave him a huge project. Now here's your project. Now go do it. And Bharat Raj, he went outside Prabhupada's room. He walked maybe 2 or 3 minutes away from Prabhupada's room. And he met an old godbrother, Devananda Swami, who's no longer in ISKCON, but he met his old friend Devananda. Oh, Devananda, so nice to see you. Accept my obeisances, embrace. You know, so nice to see you. How's everything going with your Krishna consciousness? You know what happened? Satsvarupa came down from Prabhupada's room. He said, Bharat Raj, Prabhupada wants to see you immediately. So Bharat Raj went running up to Prabhupada's room. He offered his obeisances to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I have given you so many instructions. I have given you a very big project with many, many things that you should be doing. I don't think you have time to stand around and talk. He wasn't talking idle gossip. He was seeing a godbrother for a long time, but Prabhupada did not like. He wanted him to become very, very active and very busy now doing his service, you see. And Prabhupada, even though he was quite a, Prabhupada knew, it was amazing how Prabhupada knew, but Prabhupada knew what was going on.
Prabhupada saw him?
Yeah. Prabhupada immediately brought him back and chastised him. You don't have time to stand around and talk. So that means when you have a service to do, not that if you see some other devotee, you can just lay your service and just start chit-chatting, you know. Well, I'm associating with my Prabhu here. No, you have a service your spiritual master gives you, and that service must be done. It's everything else. The Prabhu, it's nice to see you, but I got service to do. Hare Krishna. I gotta get to my service, you see. Oh, that's the most important thing is the service, you see. If we neglect the service, then our mind becomes like a prostitute. And we won't be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And at the time of death, well, we're not going to be in a very good position. Because we didn't learn how to bring the mind under control and keep it fixed in Krishna consciousness. And that means taking breath again. If you're taking a university course, do you want to complete the course and move on, or do you want to fail the course and have to take it again? A good student, he wants to make an A in that course. He wants to excel in the course and move on to the next level, you see. He doesn't want to get an F and have to repeat the course. So one who is serious, you see, one who is actually a good devotee, he wants to finish his business and go back to God in this lifetime. He doesn't want to come up with an F grade at the time of death, so he has to repeat the course. Well, you failed the course. You didn't fix yourself in Krishna consciousness. Now take birth again and try again your next life. The devotee doesn't want to fail. He wants to succeed. I want to be solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, punarjanmana vidyate, it won't take birth again. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. Listen carefully, you might have you relay it to me if I can't hear him.
Her grandmother has some illness and she has very bad memory. What can she do for her?
Her grandmother has very bad memory and is very ill, so what can she do for her?
Is she a devotee? She's a devotee. She's initiated devotee?
No.
Can she read?
No, she suffers from some kind of disease that she lose all her intelligence.
No, she can't read. She suffers from some disease that stops her from her intelligence.
Well, you can get a nice MP3 player and have some play kirtan for her all the time. Hear a bunch of nice, get her amazing hearing the kirtan. Give her prasadam. Kirtan and prasadam. Any other questions?
Example of the chariot, the intelligence is the driver and the soul is the passenger. But sometimes Srila Prabhupada gives this example that the body is like a machine and the soul is like the driver. So which is more appropriate? The soul is
both. They're both more appropriate. We can't say that Prabhupada ever gave, that Prabhupada would not waste his breath giving something that was less appropriate. Yeah, these examples are not, they're actually, there's an example given about examples. Let's say there's some star in the sky at night. I wanted to show you. Sarvabhauma Prabhu, I wanted to point a specific star to you in the sky. And if I just point it, well, see that star way out there? And there's which one? You know, there's millions of stars out there. So how will I point that specific star to you? It would not be an easy thing. But if I say, well, let's see this tree over here, see this branch on this tree, and then follow, stand right here and look, follow this branch and go way out to the end of that, the tip of that branch, and see that star right out there, the end of the, right at the tip of the branch. You see? An example is to help you grasp something. It's not the thing itself, but it's close to the thing itself. The closer it is to the thing, the better the example is. You'll often see that Prabhupada says, this is a gross example. That means it's not absolutely absolutely perfect in every respect. Examples can always be dissected and you can find fault with them if you get picky enough. But they help you to grasp the concept. So the body being a machine and the soul being the driver. That's the other example you get. You saw it.
That is given by Krishna also.
Huh?
That is said by Krishna.
Yantra Rudrani Maya. Yeah. That's right. So the machine is compared to the horses. There the analogies match. And the soul being the driver or the soul being the passenger, there the analogies differ on those points. So the question would be, is it more appropriate to see the soul as the passenger or the soul as the driver? Which is more appropriate? That would be the question. Actually, the soul is both. Because the driver is also a passenger in the car. It's like yesterday, you were our driver. Or you were also a passenger. Huh? Yeah, but you were a passenger with an extra function. You were also getting... What does passenger mean? Pass. One who passes from point A to point B is a passenger, you see. You passed from Burgas to Sophie, just like we did. So you were also a passenger. But you were a passenger with the extra function of being the driver. You also made passage from Burgas to Sophie, just as we all did. So you were also a passenger, but you were just a passenger with an extra function. Not that you didn't pass, you did not get passage from Burgas to Sophie. There are cases where the driver is not a passenger. There's like these drones that they use in Afghanistan. They have a soldier sitting in a shack somewhere in Arizona piloting these drones that are, you know, shooting down the terrorists in Afghanistan. That's a case where the driver is not a passenger. But your car was not a drone. You were a passenger in your car also, along with us. So the passenger can also be driver. So the soul being the passenger within the body and being the driver of the body, both are appropriate examples. So why a specific point is being made that the intelligence is the driver? That's where the distinction is there, you see. In one example, the soul is the driver, and the other, the intelligence is the driver. Why the distinction is being made between the soul and the intelligence? That would be the question. Actually, Prabhupada says that the soul and the intelligence are like that. They're very close. See, the mental speculators, they simply function on the platform of the intelligence. So they're very close, the spiritual platform. But they're not quite there yet. So, is it more appropriate to see the self as the passenger or as the driver? Either way, you're okay. Either example works. Because the soul is using his intelligence to drive. You can say the intelligence is driving or the soul is using his intelligence to drive. It's just two different ways of saying the same thing, really. But in the final analysis, it's the soul is actually the one who's making the decisions. In the final analysis. The intelligence alone without an Atma cannot function. So to answer your question now, after analyzing it in detail, the soul being the driver is ultimately a more valid example. Because where is there a case of intelligence where there's no Atma? There's no Atma, there's no buddhi, no intelligence. But the soul uses his intelligence. He either uses it or abuses it. When the soul uses his intelligence properly, then things go on correctly. When the soul misuses his intelligence, when he abuses it, then things go on in a very wrong way. Does that answer your question? One of those intelligent questions. They're good. I like intelligent questions. All right, any other questions? Prushashuta Prabhu.
You said in the lecture all activities can be related to kirtan.
What's that?
You said all activities in Krishna consciousness can be related to kirtan besides sleeping. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, it was a kirtan, and this Prabhupada used that example as a tape that I've heard many times. Kirtan in the sense of glorification. Kirtan means to glorify Krishna. So, just like deity worship is kirtan. When you decorate the deities very nicely, that is kirtan. You're glorifying Krishna, you see. That is kirtan. It's not that we're saying dressing the deity is the same thing as playing the madanga. There is a difference. But if you take it in that sense, kirtan meaning glorification of Krishna. In that sense, Prabhupada is saying it. Prabhupada was specifically talking about the prayers of the six Goswamis. Krishna kirtana ganana tanatro. He was saying that the Goswamis were engaged 24 hours a day in kirtan. That's what the author was saying. That author is not, was it Vishwanath Chakrabarty? Srinivasacharya was describing how the Goswamis were 24 hours a day doing kirtan. In his song, he described it. So that doesn't mean that they were always doing the kirtan, because they were writing books also, you see. But they did, that kirtan meant glorification of Krishna. So then Prabhupada then explained in how kirtan means hearing about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, writing books about Krishna, reading, taking prasadam. It's all kirtan except for sleep.
What if the mind is somewhere else?
Then it is a shadow of kirtan. It is not real kirtan. It's a shadow of kirtan.
So the mind should glorify, should make the kirtan.
So the mind should glorify.
You should be always doing kirtan in your mind. If your mind is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then your mind is doing kirtan 24 hours. Even while sleeping, if you're dreaming of Krishna, then that is also kirtan. Does that answer your question, Prabhu?
ние вършим някакво служене без ума да възхвалява Кришна, това не е киртан.
So the mind makes the kirtan, and if the mind is somewhere else, this is not kirtan.
So the mind makes the kirtan, but if it's somewhere else, it doesn't.
If the mind's somewhere else, then your kirtan is not full. It's not the real. It's I could say a not very high quality kirtan. I mean, it's better to at least be doing it externally than not doing it all. If one says, well, because my mind is not fully absorbed in my chanting, therefore I'll just stop chanting. That's not good. Do the best you can, even though the mind is running here and there, you see. But then try to bring that mind under control by bringing it back to Krishna. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam ashtaram. From wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. But there is a higher level principle taught by Rupa Goswami. Perhaps you know this shloka. Tunte tandavali vitin vitinute tundavali lamdiye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunarbhisre. What is it? Chaita prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim na jane janita ki yadbir amita krishneti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, it dances in my mouth. And when that name is dancing in the mouth, oh, it's so sweet. I want to have millions of mouths so I can get more of that nectar. And then when those names go into the holes of my ears, Krishna. It's so unbelievably nectarian. I want to have millions and billions of ears. And then when the name enters the court, when it dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered. And I am stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So the yogis, they struggle to control their minds, you see. Yam niyam asana atyahara pranayama, struggling through the Eightfold Path. But for a devotee, he just takes the name of Krishna. He takes it deep within his heart. In this way, the mind is automatically conquered. Completely conquered. There's so much sweetness in one recitation of Krishna. It is the ultimate gulab jamun. Just imagine a gulab jamun that had so much gulab juice, you bite into it, it fills up the whole universe and explodes through the coverings of the universe. That is Hare Krishna, you see. The name Krishna is the ultimate gulab jamun. When you bite into that name, Krishna, unlimited oceans of nectar come shooting out of that name. And the whole universe becomes inundated in that explosion of nectar, the Big Bang. So simply you have to have faith in the name, you see. And then the mind will automatically be conquered. And you'll be doing kirtan constantly, like the Goswamis. You become a true follower of the Goswamis, you see. Just by learning to relish the name as Rupa Goswami is teaching. So, now today is the appearance day. Appearance? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is a wonderful day of celebrating this greatest Vaishnava. How much indebted we are to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If it hadn't been for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where would we be? We'd be smoking cigarettes. Not all of us, but Vishnupriya wouldn't have been. But. We'd be, we'd be engaged in so many sinful activities. But because of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's grace, we have gotten Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And by his grace, we have gotten A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And by his grace, we have gotten the association of so many wonderful devotees all over the world. It is all Bhaktivedanta Thakura's mercy. So now we will fast until noon in remembrance of this great Vaishnava. He is sometimes called the seventh Goswami, even though he was married then. He is glorified as the seventh Goswami. So we'll stop here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.